What does the gospel mean to you? Gospel, a word that rolls easily off the tongue of a Christian, someone following Jesus. But have we thought enough about what it means? And this is a class all about that. It's part of the New Creation Teaching Series for Thames Valley. This recording made in May 2024. It's part two of two classes on the gospel, all about what it means to be a new creation and having a new picture of the gospel. Since this is part two, if you haven't watched part one, you might like to do that to provide some context for today's class. If we're going to fully embrace all that it means to be a new creation in Christ, we need a clear, a compelling vision of the gospel. Now, in the previous class, we explored the fact that the gospel is good news, and we looked at how Jesus defined that good news. We need to get his ideas of it, not just ours or all the years of Christian history. We also talked a little bit about how we can cultivate a healthy view of the gospel, and I hope that today's class will help us to go on even further in that regard. So today, part two of these two classes designed to refresh and expand our view of what the gospel is and what it means for you and me today. Because let's face it, a skinny gospel, as someone described it, a skinny gospel of forgiveness and going to heaven needs fleshing out into the full picture of what Jesus was teaching, what he was demonstrating, what he was offering when he talked about the good news. Now, before we go on to the main points for today, just a reminder that the gospel means good news, and it is the coming of the kingdom. Remember in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, we looked at last time, it said that after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So good news and kingdom are kind of equivalent. Basically, it's the same thing. The good news is that the kingdom is here. So what are some implications of the arrival of the kingdom, the good news, for you and me? And we'll talk about two things today, which I hope you can discuss with your friends and find deeper meaning for you in your own application for your local situation. So number one of the implications of this kingdom coming and of the good news being here is that we have a gospel mission. We have a gospel mission. You see, accepting Jesus, following him, making that decision to lay down our lives and to pick up our cross and follow him, doing that means that we end up having a personal, it has a personal impact on us, that discipleship, but it also has a global impact. It has a cosmic impact, in fact. A chap called Trevor Hudson said this: the gospel is personal, but never private. There are some private aspects of our relationship with God, of course, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying that when we get to the gospel, when we get the good news, and we enter into the kingdom, that's never just a private matter. It's personal, but it's not private. You see, joining up with Jesus means joining him in his mission, doesn't it? I mean, think about Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. I won't quote it here, but you might like to pause and have a look at it. When we look at that passage, Luke 4, 16 to 21, what is Jesus saying is his mission? Among other things, he's saying that it is justice for the poor, healing for the sick, liberation for the oppressed. And we, you and me, were called into his mission. You and I are like a portal for God's justice, for God's mercy, for God's liberation. Jesus said himself about his mission, I must proclaim, this is Luke 4:43. He says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. He was sent to proclaim that good news. He was a proclaimer of the good news. And we, as his followers, we have the same privilege, don't we? Think about what Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 15, where he writes, how are they to proclaim him, proclaim Christ, proclaim him, unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, that's not just Jesus, that's his followers bringing good news. That's our privilege also. So what does it mean? This is a discussion in our groups, I think. What does it mean to be sent? What does it mean to go and bring good news to people? What does it mean for you personally and in your group? So perhaps in your group, you could discuss the various ways we are sent and bring the good news. You could explore different contexts like family, neighbors, workplaces, or other contexts where you go and act and live. What difference does it make to be a bringer of good news in those different situations? How can we recognize when we are being called to bring good news in those places? And also, is there a place for what we call cold contact evangelism? Is there a place for that in the bringing of good news? I mean, if you think about Acts chapter 8, for example, looks a bit like that, doesn't it? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They were just scattered anywhere, but they preached the word. They proclaimed the word wherever they went. And in fact, the word there, preached, is the word euangelizo, which means to proclaim good news. So that's actually what it means in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Those who had been scattered proclaimed the good news wherever they went. So what do you think about that as an application for your life and the life of your local group? So the first thing we can see here is that a correct view of the gospel means that we understand that we have a gospel mission and that we actively, willingly participate in that gospel mission. But there's a second thing, and that is that when we get a proper understanding of the gospel, we realize that we have a gospel life, a new gospel life. A new creation is a new gospel, good news, life. Now, in John's gospel, let's take this as an example. In John's gospel, which is rather an interesting thing, we haven't got time to talk about the detail here, but just to say for the moment, in John's particular gospel, the word kingdom is not used as much. Not as much as the other gospels. Instead, John uses the word life, or zoe in the Greek, as a rough equivalent. So whenever you read in John's gospel, have a flip through sometime, notice how often he uses the word life. And imagine that there's the word kingdom, or if you like, good news, in there instead. It makes for an interesting reading of John's gospel. We'll just touch on a couple of points here for today. In John 17 and verse 3, Jesus said this in his famous prayer there in John 17. He says, "This is eternal life." What is this life, this zoe? What is it? "It is that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's the mission thing coming in again. But why has he been sent? So that they can have eternal life, which is to know God. That's great news, isn't it? So the good news, the kingdom reality that you and I enjoy, is that we have a new life, and this new life is an eternal life. That's what we have. We have a new life. And the fullness of life containing eternity starts now. He's not talking there, Jesus, about when they get to heaven. He's saying this is what they have now, this life, this knowing you, this eternal life is theirs now. They're living it now, and they will continue to live it, ultimately in all of its fullness, in the next life. But we have that eternal life now. That is good news. So what does that mean? I mean, that's the big question, of course, isn't it? So the gospel is knowing God, not just going to be with God. A lot of the common Christian proclamation of the gospel seems to be just about this. You're going to get eternal life. But what do you have now? Well, you don't have perfection now. You don't have all the purity and joy of heaven right now, but you do have that quality of eternal life now. And I would suggest it's largely about that transformation into Christ-likeness that we've talked about before. This new creation life is an opportunity to enter more fully into Christ-likeness while we're here, which brings us great joy and peace, but enables us to bring that joy and peace, that good news, to other people. A writer called Richard Foster put it this way. He said, "The goal of the Christian life is not simply to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us." Let me say that again. The goal of the Christian life is not simply to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us. How do we get more of Christ into us? That's the Christian life. That's the gospel life, living into the likeness of Christ. Something you might like to do for your own Bible study is to read all the references to life in John's gospel and see what you learn about this new creation life we have. Right now, here in the show notes, I've put all the references in the Gospel of John to the word Zoe, or life, and you might want to like to look those up and study them for yourselves, or perhaps do a group Bible discussion together if you like. So if the good news, if the gospel is our new life, what does that mean for the way that we think about ourselves, the way we think about our faith community, and the way that we think about our relationship with God? Those might be good questions to discuss as a group. What does this good news life mean for the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about our faith community, and the way we think about our relationship with God? So to wrap up, how do we cultivate a healthy view of the gospel? We talked about a bit last week, might want to review that. But some things to think about, again, perhaps to discuss in your local group, are to discuss, how does Jesus embody the gospel mission? How does he embody that mission? And how does Jesus embody the gospel life that we've been talking about? How could you personally and your local group grow in the gospel mission? And how could you and your local group grow in the gospel life? Where do you sense God drawing you into more of the likeness of Christ right now personally? But also as a group, do you sense that God is trying to draw your group into some kind of aspect of Christ-likeness right now? Is there a focus that you think he's trying to get you to concentrate on? Perhaps you might like to read one of the Gospels and make notes on everything you see there that reveals the gospel mission and the gospel life. Well, I hope you found these thoughts helpful. Do drop me a line if you have any questions or any feedback. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. Next time, we'll explore another aspect of living as a new creation. But until then, take care and God bless.